Ons, ek wil nie al mekaar herhaal waarmee ons besig is nie, maar ons as gemeente is besig met om vir die Here regtig op 'n praktiese manier te vertrou, om dit wat die vyand wil en reeds gedoen het in jou lewe van vry te kom. Dat ons die koninkryk van Jesus in ons lewens sal sien kom. En dat ons nie Jesus aanneem en vir 20 en 30 jaar stap met die gebrokenheid wat die vyand in ons lewe veroorsaak het. As ek kan reg opgesom. Kan iemand amen sê of moet ek nog iets byvoeg? Is dit waarvoor ons die Here vertrou, né? Nee. So, een van die areas, ek het vanoggend, ek kan nie onthou wat ek op die slide gesit het nie, I've called it worship and sex, sex, okay, I thought, ja, nee, dit is die topic wat ek opgesit het, en die vraag is, wat het die twee nou met mekaar te doen? Wat het die twee met mekaar te doen? Hoekom ek voel, we've got to stand still and talk about sexuality, I think it's one of the areas in life, at this stage we're living in, that the devil comes to steal and destroy in the most gross manner we can see. En ons sien dit reg oor die aarde, dat die vyand met seksualiteit kom, en alles kom steel van ons, wat God vir ons bedoel het. Everything. So ons moet stilstaan by dit, dit is iets waaroor ons moet in diepte oorgesels, en partykeer is ons nou of ongemaklik, of ons weet ook nie eintlik of die woord iets daaroor sê nie, ek lees so 'n mooi ding in die week, ek het baie gelees van iemand wat sê dat soos wat die kerk partykeer met seksualiteit omgaan, sou mense wat nie die kerk dink nie, ons word op 'n ander manier create, jy weet, ons kom op 'n ander manier die wêreld in. But I want to say this morning that sexuality and sex was created by God. Your sexual desire is from God. It's not from the enemy. And God created it to be beautiful and to be a blessing. What the enemy comes is to come in there and to destroy you through that. Because that's what the enemy does. He can create nothing. He can only deceive of that what is already created. So mag die Here vanoggend sommer net met ons almal kom praat. En nou is die eerste ding, nou wil ons op ons senuwees raak, maar ons gaan nie. Want God het bedoel dat dit mooi moet wees, en dat dit goed moet wees. That it should be a blessing for each one of us. Single or married. It should be a blessing to you, not a curse. So, worship and sex, net hoe dat ek dit by mekaar bring is, every act, whether you think about it, is an act of worship. You either act worshiping God, and disobedience worship Satan. You've got no other choice. We stood still with obedience as a tool to bring freedom of Satan to your life last week. So we're just carrying on with that, and we're focusing on a specific area of our life. Dat God bedoel het, dat as ons gehoorsaam is aan dit wat hy vir ons leer oor seks en sexuality, we worship God and not Satan. When we disobey him, we worship Satan. Ek het sommer 'n paar woorde neergeskryf. Disobedience, when it comes to sexuality, we can call it adultery, fornication, lust, pornography, homosexuality, lesbianism, sexual abuse of someone that is weaker than you, and we can carry on. Just different forms of sin concerning sexuality. And staying inside the parameters that God intended for you is to protect you and to bless you. That's why God has set parameters out for that. So kom ons lees net twee skrifte. Miskien is ons almal nie oortuig dat God sê seks op 'n verkeerde manier is sonde nie. So kom ons lees net so twee skrifte. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Dankie, Chart. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexual immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. God het bedoel dat ons liggame, it will worship Him. Our sexual desire shall worship God and not worship the enemy. Ek het nog een ander skrif daar uit Kolossense uit 3 vers 5. Put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, and which is idolatry. So, ons kan nou vanoggend by al hierdie areas gaan stilstaan van, kom ons definieer net miskien 'n bietjie van die terme wat ek gebruik het. Seks voor die huwelik in God se oë is sonde. Seks met iemand anders as jou vrou is sonde. Pornografie is sonde in God se oë. We know that sexual abuse is sin in the eyes of God. Homosexuality, we haven't got time for that this morning, is sin in the eyes of God. The lust of the eyes is sin in the eyes of God. Die Here sê, die wet sê, as jy met 'n ander vrou gemeenskap het, is dit sonde, maar ek sê vir jou, as jy na haar kyk en haar begeer, het jy reeds sonde gepleeg. The standard in the New Testament is much higher than the Old Testament. So voor ons verder gaan, maybe all of us sit here this morning in different degrees and think, I am condemned. But it is not true. I want to read the following scriptures to you. Mark 3:28. Truly I say to you, it's Jesus speaking, thank God, all sins will be forgiven the children of man. All sins. None is excluded. It doesn't matter this morning what you've done in the past. I've spoken this week to people and I can see how they are still carrying the burden of sin in the past. God does not want you to carry any burden for sin in the past. He wants you free of that. He doesn't want you to feel guilty for that sin. Because that guilt takes all authority and power away to get victory over that sin. So ek wil vanoggend vir ons sê, jy gaan nie iemand wees wat sy hand kan opsê om te sê, sexually I've never sinned. All of us has. The degree of sin may vary, but all of us has sinned. And what God comes to say this morning, there is forgiveness for that. And He does not want you to walk for the rest of your life with the memory and the guilt of experiences in early life. He wants to set you free of that. Kom ons lees nog van die skrifte wat Colossians 1:21-22. If you really struggle with this stuff, and this morning actually wil ek net sê, ons praat vanoggend oor seksualiteit, maar dit is waar vir elke vorm van sonde. I spoke in this week to someone, and because of him, someone else got into deep sin. And he's walking with that guilt, that it was his mistake and his fault and his responsibility, leading someone else that condemned her whole life. And she's still there. And he's walking with that guilt, which on the one hand is a good thing, but on the other hand, we can only run to God to set us free. Go and read Colossians chapter 1 to chapter 3. We haven't got time to read all of it, but and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. Dit is wat God sê vir elkeen wat hom aangeneem het, you are above reproach. You are above, wat het hy nog gesê, gaan we terug, you are blameless. Beteken dit jy sonder foute? Wie sonder foute? Niemand nie. All of us still sin. But we are above reproach and we are blameless before God, not because we get it right and we're perfect, but because of Jesus Christ. En jy moet dit weet in jou sondige natuur en dit waarmee jy struggle. If we don't know that, there will be no victory and freedom from it. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. het nog eens een. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to shame. What does that mean? By triumphing over them in him. Wat hy sê hierso is, Satan het geen klagstaat meer teen jou nie. Doesn't matter what you've done. Everything has been nailed to the cross. And we must know that. Ons moet dit weet, dit is wat God se hart vir jou is. Come to accept the sin offering of Christ at the cross. And every debt is cancelled at that same cross. Elke sonde van jou is daarvoor. En daarom, as Satan jou wil aankla oor die goed wat in die verlede verkeerd geloop het, you need to recite the scripture and tell him what God says, not what he says. We need to know this. So, voordat ons praat oor wat die effect is van sexual immorality in our lives, we need to know there's hope. Otherwise, we go condemned. En ons wil nie, ons wil die uitstap om te weet dat dit is God die Vader se hart vir ons. To help us with it. Not to condemn us in it. But there is a way out. So there is hope for each one of us. Natuurlik het God aanvanklik die man en die vrou gemaak en hy het gesê julle sal een wees en dit is ook daar vir procreation. Daar sal kinders wees uit 'n huwelik uit. But children is not the only thing that happens when we one. And that's where it comes in which we have to understand this morning. The unity between man and wife is not only for children. There's a oneness that comes with it. And we need to understand that. Why then sexuality and sin outside of marriage condemns us and ruins us and is not for our blessing. It is because we are becoming one. And let's look at that. Dit is waarby ek wil stilstaan vir oggend. Die realiteit natuurlik vandag wat hartseer is baie min mense kom na 'n huweliksdag toe sexually pure. Die norm is eerder andersom. En dit is die hartseer van die tye waarin ons leef. Die feit dat ons sexually impure na die huwelik toe kom, steals our blessing, which should be inside marriage, of being sexually one. It's stolen by what happened before marriage. And it's not what our God intended it to be. En ek wil stilstaan om te sien hoe dit van ons steel, because wat die meeste van die tyd gebeur is, we are so ashamed and full of guilt about it, we never bring it to the surface. We rather suffer for the rest of our lives. And God wants to say this morning, don't suffer, I want to help you. Bring it to the light that we can help you with it. That's God's heart this morning. Don't suffer. So those hurts and brokenness steals a joyful sexual relationship in marriage. Ek wil net sê vir oggend, don't go out here and think it's only brokenness concerning sexuality that steals our joy. In marriage. Any other area that we are broken and affected in will also affect our unity with our wife or our husband. So it's not only sexuality, but it does have a big influence. En ek lees so 'n mooi ding wat John Piper sê. John Piper sê die tragedie is nie dat ons gesondig het nie. Dit is 'n tragedie. Die eintlike tragedie is ons laat toe dat daai sonde die res van ons calling steel. Dis die eintlike tragedie. Because God says, for any sin there's hope and there's reconciliation. And God does not want that this morning that your sin and past sin will steal and create even a bigger tragedy and then steal your calling and your destiny. Calling the fulfilled life that God meant with you for you. God wants not that. Nie 'n tweede keer nie. Dit is 'n groter tragedie as die aanvanklike sonde. If we have been one with someone else before marriage, that relationship may be long gone, but something of that comes into marriage, and we need to understand that to realize how it's affecting and inflicting on your current marriage. En hierdie goed is vir my so belangrik. Hier is so baie mense wat vanoggend hier sit wat ongetroud is. En die vyand sal alles doen om jou purity te steel in die tye waarin ons leef voordat jy getroud is. He'll do everything to steal it from you. En ek wil twee goed sê. Vanoggend sit jy dalk hierso en is reeds van jou gesteel. And I want to tell you there's hope in God. And the second thing, if he hasn't stolen it, please stay close to him that the enemy is not able to steal it from you. Please stay close to God. Soos ek net nou gesê het, die Bybel sê vir ons, wanneer 'n man en vrou een word, they become one flesh. Ek wil net, ons het net nou, het ons ook 'n skrif gelees, ons sing daarvan, what does flesh refer to in the Bible? And we tend to think it only refers to your body. It does not. It refers to your soul as well. Because flee from flesh. Waar sondig ons oral? Net met ons liggame? No, our will and our mind is part of that. So when we become one, it's not only our body that becomes one. The soul and the spirit becomes one as well. Ons het so 'n mooi praktiese ding gedoen toe ons nou, ek wou dit vir oggend hê, want dit is, maar dit beeld het baie eksplisiet uit en dit laat iets vir ons verstaan van wat gebeur wanneer man en vrou een raak. Ons het op 'n vrou se hande was 'n stroop of heuning gesmeer en op 'n man se kykie botter. And then we take those two hands and trek hulle so lekker te mekaar. And then you take it apart. And what happens is the honey doesn't stay with her and the kykie botter with me. It mixes. So if we leave after oneness, there was a mixing and the unity taking place. Something of her stayed with me and something of me stayed with her. That's what's happening in the spiritual and the soulless realm when we get one with another. Ek wil iets lees wat C.S. Lewis skryf. Hy druk dit mooi uit. Baie beter as wat ek dit kan verduidelik. C.S. Lewis expresses it as follows. The truth is, whenever a man lies with a woman, en vandag se tyd kan ons seker ook maar skryf, when a man lies with a man or a woman lies with a woman, whether they like it or not, a transcendental relationship is formed that must be internally enjoyed or internally endured. There's a relationship beyond the physical that takes place. And you have to endure it or enjoy it for the rest of your life. There is a union taking place that is more than physical. It enters the soul and the spirit. C.S. Lewis on what is taking place when a husband or a man and a wife becomes one. God intended marriage for husband and wife to be joined. Many people coming to marriage has already been joined. Has already been joined. And what we do is when we are joined outside of marriage, we are coming out under the cover of God, under his authority, and we're standing under the cover of the enemy and the authority of the enemy. And we open up our lives for him to have any influence he likes in our lives. En baie jare later in die praktyk, I've seen the people in the office coming to in and elkeen wat met mense beraad sien hoe dat dit jare verby is and the guilt and the shame and die seer in die binnekant is still with them. It's many years past these things. Maar die seer en die berou kom saam met hulle. It does not disappear. In hier geskryf, there is a consequence when we step outside the will of God. Daar is 'n gevolg en ons moet dit weet, want baie kere ons lewe in tye en ek sê altyd vir ouers, moet dit nie te maklik maak vir jou kinders nie. Dit so daai ouer program wat Denzel hulle in die Bokveld nou weer gedoen het, is een ding wat ons kinders moet leer van kleins af. Wrong behavior has a consequence. If we don't teach them that, we think we can behave as we like without any consequence. Wrong behavior has a consequence. is een van die probleme waarmee ons in skool en ons land sit op die oomblik. Wrong behavior does not always have a consequence. So wat ek sien prakties is dat dit seer maak, dat dit 'n worsteling in mense se lewens veroorsaak when they've been outside the covenant blessing of God in concerning sexuality. En wat hulle agterkom later in hulle lewe is dit beïnvloed nog steeds hulle lewe. Die verhoudings wat hulle daar gehad het, beïnvloed vandag nog hulle lewe. En partykeer, hopelik na vanoggend is ook die, is ons die uitstap, dan kan jy met God in gesprek tree om te weet van die worstelinge waarmee jy besig is, of dit dalk hier vanaf kom of nie. Because sometimes we just wrestle and we don't know where these things are coming from, because no one taught us. So we have to know what the word of God says about this. Seksuele sonde laat 'n persoon kwesbaar vir Satan en sy demone. It opens you up, because you're outside the protection of God. En ek wil vanoggend sê, daar's ongelukkig nie 'n kort pad om hiermee te deel nie. Daar's nie 'n kort pad om dit uitgevee te kry in jou lewe nie. But there is a way. But the way starts at the cross. There's no other place to go with this than the cross of Christ. En ek wil sommer iets, 'n paar kom ons noem dit aksies, deel van die proses is confession and repentance. There's forgiveness of other people. You might say, it is her fault, she may say, it's your fault. There's forgiveness, and there's a renewal that has to take place. Jakobus 5, kan nie onthou nie, is het 16 wat sê, confess your sins to one another, that you may be healed. And I haven't discovered another area in life that challenges us so much to confess our sexual impurity and sins to one another. But I've also seen there's not another area like this, sexuality, that keeps us bound if we don't confess it. Het ek het mooi uitgedruk. Daar's nie 'n ander area wat is so uitdaag nie. En ek sien, sonder dat ons by James 5 verbygaan, I don't see recovery and restoration, sexuality, in sexuality, if we're not able to do that, and go through James 5 and bring it to the light and pray with someone. Stuff in my life happened, and I've tried to now I'll take it to God, I'll sort it out with God, not until I phone someone and say, come please sit with me. This thing does not leave me. The shame and the guilt does not leave me. And I phone someone, come and sit with me. More than once in my life, sit with me, say, please. I'm so ashamed just to share this with you. But today I want to be free. And I can honestly say, the moment I shared it, there's new breakthrough. I've never experienced before. But as long, you can say, but no, I've given it to God. My experience is that I have to run through James 5. Maybe just, I have mentioned that just different ways Satan invades your life in the sexual area. Ek het hier 9 neergeskryf. Ways in which the enemy comes in to create problems in your life. There's generational sexual sin. It can come from previous generations. It has happened in every generation or different generations before you. It's a way the enemy can get a hold of you in sexual area as well. If you've been abused or be part of abusing, that's another area the enemy comes in. Dominating soul ties. So dit is waar daar iemand dominerend in jou lewe, 'n verhouding, jy het 'n ongesonde verhouding. A father and a daughter should have a godly relationship. There should be a tie between me and Elsara, but it should be according to God. Then it's healthy. If it's unhealthy, we talk about there's a soul tie that controls her, which was not from God, because I've done it in the wrong way as a father. So, jy mag ook in hierdie verhoudings wees, an unhealthy relationship with someone else, father, mother, whatever, that there's someone that played a role in your life. We have spoken about premarital intercourse, oral sex, homosexuality, lesbianism, fantasy, pornography, and These days we get so many people, they would be a man dressed up as a woman, living a life as a woman in the night, being a man in the day. It's all ways of opening up ourselves for the demonic to have an influence on our life. And those sexual doors that we open, the influence of the demonic will not stay only with our own sexuality. It will obviously flow into other areas of our lives as well. It will influence our whole life, spirit, soul, and body at the end. I've said it previously, as you join with someone, if it's godly, it is blessed. But if it's outside of God's parameters, you leave something of yourself with the other person. If you joined with her. And you take along something of them with you. Because God said, you'll be one. And God wants to break these chains. There's hope for each one of us that God can, and He has done it for many, break these chains. I just quickly want to read Proverbs 5, I think. The whole chapter of Proverbs 5 is gaan oor seksualiteit. En ek wil net die laaste twee verse van het lees. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare them. Sien jy hoe dit jou ensnare? And he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for a lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. This is all after a whole chapter of sexual sin. There's cords. You are ensnared and you are chained. You are bound. And God wants to set us free from that. He wants us to live free from that. Not to be influenced in a negative way. It influences us as a person and it influences our relationships. Ek het 'n paar goed neergeskryf oor hoe beïnvloed hierdie goed dit. It results in a damage with your relationship with God and others. So, sexual sin bring dat verhoudinge nie gesond is nie. Dit maak dat daar ongesonde soul ties is, as die Engels. Sielsverbintenisse is. Daar skaamte en veroordeling in ons lewe. There's rejection. There's emotional, emosionele verwarring in ons binneste when we step out of the parameters of God's sexual design. Daar's emosionele seer wat in ons binneste lê. I've read the testimonies, I've seen it in the office. When we pray for people that God may restore and bring back what was left in the past. People there's people in that has been sexually immoral all over this world. It has been left all over this world, parts of them. But I believe that, and I've got the testimonies to where I've seen it, that God can bring back every part, and it doesn't matter where it is. And we pray for people, God, will you please bring back what has been left over the years at different places and situations. You pray for people, God, will you take away and remove what is not supposed to be here that was left inside of him or her. Please. And you can see how people are restored. They say, it is as if I find myself again, because parts of me has been missing. And there's parts here that doesn't belong here. God wants to restore that breakdown in the unity in your body, soul, and spirit. 'N ander gevolg baie keer van hierdie seksuele immoraliteit in ons samelewing is that people disassociate. Hulle onttrek en sonder hulle af van die lewe. It's killing relationship. I want to just close with, what hope is there for me? And I want to encourage you to be open with God. Come without defense. Be open with God. When we are honest with God, we see that He runs to help. God comes immediately to help you. If we are honest and open before God. God is a restorer. And He wants a new season for all of us. If we have sin in sexuality. I want to read a scripture from is in Micha 7 vers 8 tot 9. Dit is my so mooi, dit is 'n gebed wat hy hier bid. En hierdie gebed maak vir my so sin in hierdie area van ons lewe. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. Do not allow the enemy to rejoice any further of where you find yourself. Don't allow him. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me out to the light. I shall look upon his vindication. Where we started this morning by saying there's hope for each one of us. Don't allow the enemy to make you feel ashamed and condemned anymore. God wants to set you free. This is what he says. He wants you to come without defense and say, Lord, please, I have sinned against you. He wants to set us free, and ek sê vanoggend vir elkeen van ons, wanneer ons ons nederig bring voor God, he lifts us up. God always lifts the humble, but he resists the proud. Let your sex life worship God, who created and gave sexual desire. Let your sex life, maybe I should just say that. Our sex life, even if we are married, and even if we are committed to our wife or our husband, can still not worship God. God really wants us to seek him and to ask him to change us. Many of us may be married, we may be, wat is die regte woord? Ons is getrou aan ons man of ons vrou, but it is still not there. It is not what God intended it to be. God wants it to be a blessing to both of you. He wants you to be united. I've thought about it as I read more and more on the subject. Ons sal so baie keer sê, iemand wat lang getroud is, nee, die oom en die tannie, hulle lyk al soos mekaar. Jy weet, hulle dink al soos mekaar. And I thought, how much of that is because we are becoming more and more one the longer we are married and we have a blessed sexual relationship before God. And that is what God wants. He wants true unity, body, soul, and spirit between a man and a husband. And that is what God intended for us to be. Ek wil afsluit om te sê, if you are here this morning and God has spared you all of the things we've talked about, stay close to him because the enemy wants to steal it from you. And he comes in any way to come and steal it from you. And if you are here this morning and you say, sure, I've been part of many of these things, I want to encourage you. God is standing as a father with open arms, and he says, come to me, run to me, I want to help you with it. I don't want your destiny and your calling to be stolen by what has happened in the past. Don't live with the shame and the guilt. Come to me that I help you with it. God is a restorer. He wants to set us free. Draw close to him because the enemy wants you. And he wants, if you are here this morning and you have the shame and guilt, that is why the enemy wants to keep you. God wants to restore you and call you out of there. I'm just going to close with prayer and then we're going to take communion. And I really trust God to just, you know, like I don't want to share too much, but for some of us, for myself, it has taken years after I came to Christ to have the courage to phone someone and say, come. I want to say to you, the longer you wait, the harder it gets. Hoe langer jy met die Here stap, hoe moeiliker is dit om hierdie goed te deel. I want to encourage you, allow God to open up your heart, to let your pride go. Come before God and say, Lord, this is where I was. This is what happened. Restore me from this. Ek gaan 'n kort gebed vir ons doen en dan wil ek graag hê moet ons die nagmaal bedien en and then we're going to close with worship and ask God to just come and work in our hearts. Father, I pray this word over us. I thank you, Father, that this morning you come to invite us to set us free. Thank you, Lord, that I can testify and many of us can testify that you are a good God when we come in humility and openness and to confess and to repent before you. Thank you, Lord, that you never disappoint us to set us free. And I pray for each one this morning, Father, that is really at this moment and in the past and in his life, maybe even tomorrow, is still struggling with these things, Father. I pray that we will not allow the enemy to keep us here, but to be set free. In Jesus' name, amen.